Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you can be seated. It's Ascension Sunday. Our Lord Jesus Christ returning to the Father in heaven. Ascension Sunday. This morning I'm going to tell you the theme of the sermon. You don't have to guess at what it was. Here it is. It's very simple, one sentence. We serve the crucified, risen, and glorified Jesus. I want us to have all those, right? It's been Easter season. We say over and over again, Christ is risen, and he is risen indeed. Alleluia. That's Easter. The cross, the empty tomb, your salvation. That's good news, by the way, right? You are redeemed. You are one for the Father in heaven. How many sins are covered by the blood of Christ? All of them. I've been saying that since I've been here, right? All of them. How many sins? All of them. Some of them, we think this one is worse than the other one. God never describes it that way. The big ones, the little ones, there's some we minimize. The worst, the thing you've held on to thinking God can't cover that sin, it's covered. The Lord Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. All of them. Your sins, my sins, no matter how wretched we think they are. They are covered by the blood of the Lamb. And he rose again to prove it. And then he ascended into heaven. The crucified, risen, glorified Jesus. Imagine, after the resurrection of Jesus, he was with the disciples for 40 days. What a wonderful time that would have been, right? To see him with your own eyes, to reach out and touch him with your hands. You could hold on, you could hug the risen Jesus, his body present for you. And they were rejoicing. The Lord Jesus has conquered sin and death. And here he is alive. Not a theory, this is him. This is him alive with us. They thought it should be like this always, right? So the disciples, what do? When times are good? They ask a stupid question. It is their way. Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? I love it. What are they thinking about? The kingdom. They're thinking about ruling. They're thinking about power. Finish this sentence. Jesus said it. My kingdom is not of this world. Let's say, okay, we get it. Before the cross, your kingdom was not of this world. Now it's cross and resurrection. Now let's set up the kingdom. Right? That's what they were thinking. How about now? We already know that one of them said, hey, Jesus, when you come in your kingdom, can I sit on one side of you and my brother sit on the other? He's like, that's not what I came for. Lord, are you going to now set up the kingdom? And I always love Jesus interplays with them with the word you. They say, Lord, are you going to set up the kingdom? And his answer is what? You will be my witnesses, right? They say, Lord, are you going to set up the kingdom? He says, that's not for you to know stuff like that, but here's what you're going to do. You will be my witnesses. You, my witnesses. And then he ascended. This morning we're going to confess the Nicene Creed. You know the words, but I want to look at them a little bit. I want us to notice, by the way, the verb tenses. Part of the creed says this, who for us men and for our salvation did what? Came down from heaven. I want us to stay there for a minute. That means Christ has always existed, right? Christ is eternal. He didn't come to being on Christmas morning. He's always existed. He came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. Now, he's always existed because the Father is eternal, the Son is eternal, the Spirit is eternal. I somehow lapsed into the Athanasian Creed. But yes, eternal. But on a particular day, he was made flesh. Incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, made man. That's Christmas. But he suffers, he dies. These words. And the third day, he rose again. That's still past tense, right? This all happened in the past. The third day, he rose again according to the scriptures. And he ascended into heaven. There it is. Came from heaven, ascended back to heaven. And he sits at the right hand of the Father. That's the first present tense verb, right? He was born, he was incarnate, he suffered, he died, he rose, he ascended, past tense, and he sits, present tense, at the right hand of the Father. The future tense one is that he will come in glory, right? Now, I want us to get this. What does it mean when it says he's sitting at the right hand of the Father? Here's what it doesn't mean. It does not mean like we have a hard day at work and we come home and we sit down on the couch and we pick up the remote control. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean he sat down to do nothing. He's sitting somewhere where he sits at the right hand of the Father, and that's a position of power. What is Christ doing? Reigning. Ruling. Mysteriously, we don't understand everything about it, of course, but he rules. He sits in the position of power where he belongs. Now, I want us to get this. He ascended. Ascend means to go up. That does not mean that Jesus became a space traveler. Some people think, well, Jesus just went up and he kept going up and he kept going up. He passed the moon, then he passed Mars, then he passed Saturn. That's not what it means, right? It means Jesus moved from this realm into a totally different realm, into the heavenly realm. That's why, do you guys remember long ago, the Russian cosmonauts went into space and they said, we don't see God. We'd say, well, I didn't expect that you would. When the Bible says heaven, it doesn't mean the region just past the atmosphere, right? That Jesus comes from the heavenly realm. He entered this created realm. If you say figuratively up, he went beyond. He went distinct from where we are. All that to say this, we serve the who? The crucified, risen, glorified Jesus. The glorified Jesus. And thinking about Christ right now, I was thinking this week about a wonderful book called Your God is Too Small. Have some of you heard it? By a man named J.B. Phillips. It's only a short little paperback. I looked it up. You can buy it on Amazon for $6.39. It's 120 pages, little paperback. Your God is too small. And what he says is that God being God, we sometimes put him in a box. He's hard to understand, and so we try to put him in small boxes. And he has chapters like this, God as policeman, right? People think of God as the one who's just watching out to see if we're getting into trouble. God is the grand old man, or God is the parental hangover. Those are great chapters. But this is the one I really love. He has a chapter saying, we conceive Jesus as gentle Jesus, meek and mild. And that's not quite right. Do we know who Jesus is? The eternal Son of God, all-powerful, eternal, and sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. J.B. Phillips says, we say gentle Jesus, meek and mild. He said, you mean the one who overturned the tables of the money changers? The one who actually did speak truth to power? The one who was thought of as a threat by the establishment? That Jesus, meek and mild, the one who went to the cross? No, not meek and mild. I want to hear a couple passages from Revelation, last book of the Bible. These are visions of Jesus. I want to read a few verses of Revelation 1, Revelation 19. John is given a vision of Jesus now. Right? Jesus now. Revelation 1, John hears a voice behind him. He says, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man. Who's that? Jesus. Dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. Hear it. His eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. And out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. What a vision. The glorified, risen, and powerful Jesus. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. And he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. That's a Jesus way of talking, right? Of course. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, past tense. And behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Jesus in heaven, glorified. That's who he is. Revelation 19, almost at the end of the book. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, that means a conqueror, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice, he judges and makes war, right? Thanks be to God, justice one day With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood always, right? Always. His power, his eternity, but his blood, dripped in blood. And his name is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, right? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's also John. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Here again, out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Do we know that Christ? Do we know that Christ? That is the risen, crucified, glorified Christ. And we need to know that because we get it. There is the Christ of the manger. There is the Christ who was punched in the face by Roman soldiers. Yes, there is that Christ. But that Christ has conquered death and grave, and he has ascended to sit at the right hand of God, and he is God, and he lives and reigns to all eternity. That's our God. That's our Jesus. Now, I want to say three things about his presence with us, not his absence, but his presence. The reason I say it that way is I think the disciples watch Jesus ascend, and the first thing they're thinking is, oh no, he's gone away. They think Jesus is absent from us. Jesus is absent in the sense that the huggable Jesus is absent, but I want us to get that Jesus ascends in order to be present, but in a different way. Christ is present, but not exactly as before. Here's something I didn't notice. I heard this from a sermon by Tim Keller. Ephesians 4:21 says this. The book of Ephesians written by Paul, 4:21 says, surely you heard of him and were taught in him accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You might say, what's that have to do with the presence of Jesus? Tim, I never noticed this before, but Pastor Keller points this out. In the translations, they usually say, surely you have heard of him, but in Greek, the word of isn't there. So if it doesn't say of, do you know what it says? It literally says, surely you heard him. Heard him. Now here's the point he makes. Jesus never went to Ephesus. But Paul, writing the Ephesian Christians, says, surely you heard him. How did they hear Jesus? Are you ready? By the spoken word of other believers. That's a cool insight, isn't it? Is Jesus present in the world? One of the answers is, yes, he's present wherever the word is. Preaching, sure. When you share the good news with a coworker, do you know that Christ is there? He's there. Isn't that a wonderful text? Surely you heard him, not you heard me preaching. You heard Jesus. Wherever the good news is shared. Now, Tim Keller says that's scary. It's a responsibility, but it's an empowering that Christ goes with us. Christ is present in the Word. I think we have to say this as Lutherans. Christ is present in the sacrament of the altar. We say it week after week, but sometimes we maybe can forget to remember it, right? We forget to emphasize this. I want us to get this. At the altar, Jesus says these words, this is my body, this is my blood. And I want to be careful to notice, Jesus did not say this represents my body. He did not say this signifies my body. Jesus didn't say do this is a metaphor, right? What did he say? This is my body. Could that be clearer? This is my body. This is my blood. Now gather this. Jesus present, again, not the huggable Jesus, not the reach out and touch him Jesus, but Jesus is sacramentally present at Christian altars. We could say, well, he's present here at Mount Olive. We need to think of this. Jesus is present at altars around the entire world. How can he do that? Well, he's the glorified Jesus, right? So we have to be careful about this. Some Christians will say, well, Jesus in heaven, he can't be there. And I want to say, to coin a phrase, your God is too small. He's present. Christ is present. And the third way is this. Christ is present in the neighbor. He's present in the neighbor. Wonderful passage in Matthew chapter 25. You know it. It says, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. Remember that passage? And then he says to the ones that have served him, enter into your heavenly kingdom, which has been prepared for you. And they say, Lord, when did we do those things? What is he saying? Matthew 25:40. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you what? Did for me. You did for me. To see in the other person, the person that we serve, an opportunity to serve Christ. Not he doesn't say you did a nice deed. He said you did for me. Is Christ present? Yes, not like his earthly ministry, but he's present in the spoken word, in the sacrament of the altar, and he's present in the neighbor. That's the work of the church. Witness, sacrament, service, that's the work of the church. Now here's the last thought. For how long is that the work of the church? Until he returns. Until he returns. And that's the way the ascension passages end. Acts 1:11, the angels say, Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? That means they're staring up in the sky with kind of a silly look on their face, like, what now? Why are you standing here looking into the sky? It's a little bit of a rebuke. They're saying, get to work. This same Jesus who's been taking you from into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go. He's going to come from the heavenly realm into this realm to be seen by all. When is that? Don't know. So what are we supposed to be doing? Enjoying his presence, but serving the neighbor as well. This is Ascension Sunday. We serve who? We serve a crucified, risen, glorified Jesus. Right? In Easter season, we often say, crucified and risen. And there's a truth there. But I want us to get this. We serve a crucified, risen, glorified Jesus. Amen. And we stand together. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.